With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello and welcome to this brand new episode of EvoStick Extra for the weekend beginning. If you believe the weekend starts on Friday, the 27th of March, or if you're one of these traditional Saturday folk, the 28th of March 2015. I'm Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's EvoStick Extra, we'll be reviewing last weekend's fixtures with the dynamic James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, and we'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures with the marvellous Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. But before all of that, it's now time to go over to the news desk with Ben. Over to you, Ben. Thanks, Ben, and we start today's show with the news that Dylan Shilcock became the second student from the MPL Football Academy to make his first team semi-professional debut on Wednesday night when he came on as a late sub in Leek Town's 2-1 win at Sheffield FC in Division 1 South. The top scorer at the Blues Academy won a place on the bench at John Field before coming on for manager Lee Caswell as a 90th minute substitute in the first Division 1 South win for the promotion chasers. The 16-year-old follows in the footsteps of Johan Rutte-Smith, who became the first ever student from the MPL Football Academy to graduate to first-team football in November, when he made his debut for Romulus in their Duton Sports Cup tie against Sutton Coldfield. In fundraising news, after their success in taking less than a fortnight to reach a £225,000 target to fund their return home, Division 1 North side Darlington have raised the bar to £300,000, and they're giving supporters more time to help end the club's exile. Delighted officials at the Quakers say fans and local businesses now have until Monday the 6th of April to back their Heading Home campaign, after more than 250 fans purchased extended season ticket packages for the First Division North club. In managerial news, Brigg Town have named former Bridlington number 2 Andy Foster as their new manager. The First Division South Zebras unveiled Foster as the successor to Gary Patton at the Hawthorns on Thursday morning. And finally, Witton Albion are looking forward to hosting Northwich Victoria in a competitive clash for the first time in nearly a decade when the clubs meet in the Mid-Cheshire District FA Challenge Cup final next month. The great rivals are set to contest this season's final at Wincham Park on Saturday the 14th of April, their first meeting in any competition since January the 30th, 2007, when the Vics went on to win 2-1 in the semi-finals of the FA Cheshire Senior Cup. And that, Ben, concludes the news this week. Back over to you. Thank you, Ben, for that delightful news there. And it's transfer deadline day, so expect the next guest to start funneling out names that you've never heard of before, going to clubs who were just having a bit of a last-minute splurge. It's James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James.
Hello, how's everyone?
They all said fine. Just to say, our transfer deadline day, how exciting has it been for you?
Yeah, in the case of Ratcliffe, but we signed two new players. I think they're both defenders by looking at them. So a bit of a good move for us, especially with Mully deciding to retire this season and a few issues at the back. But the big sign I've seen of the day, Ben Deegan going from Drolsden to Ashton United. Mm. That is a big, big move, especially with Deegan, who just narrowly missed out on the top five players list as well. So naturally, I can see Ashton United making the most of that at this moment in time.
Right. Okay. Can I just let Ashton United fans know as well, if you need a good substitute goalkeeper, Ben Deegan's your man as well, as a top-notch goal scorer. Right, it's now time anyway to draw our eyes to last weekend's fixtures and a significant weekend where three teams joined a queue behind FC United, all on the same number of points. One of those teams, Ashton United, who beat Matlock Town by 2-0.
And it just shows what Ashley United are capable of doing. I think they had to prove to the town that they're capable of Conference North football, and they've done it well there. Matt Watson during the last couple of weeks have been fantastic. But again, coming against a team of going potentially a title race.
Now, Workington is another side who are now in that group just behind FC United on 71 points. They beat King's Lynn by 2-0 in front of a crowd of 535 on Saturday. Again, Workington.
I want to know, before we go on, I would love to know how many King's Lynn fans made that trip by that weekend. That 5-3 fact for
get
that
in
as
touch.
Well, that's not a bad go.
If you're that guy who made that trip, get in touch.
Yeah. But again, coming back to the point, Workington again, they're another team that's going to have to be making the move soon. It's again, what I'm saying, the title race, or in the home advantage potentially as well. I think they're another team like FC United, they've not dropped many points in the second part of the season. But the only disaster of that is against FC United, which is nothing to be ashamed of at this moment in time.
You say that though, but there has been points dropped this weekend by the title challengers. FC United was one of them, drawing 1-1 at Stamford in front of a crowd of 974, a record attendance at the Zico. And Ilkeston against Buxton in front of 539, another cracking attendance, but that one finished 0-0. So what do you reckon for this past weekend for Ilkeston and FC?
FC United, again, they can afford to drop the points at this moment in time. They've still got that game in hand, and especially with Ilkeston dropping the points, who are the main title threat. I think FC can think of it as a get-out clause, especially because I know Stamford are still yet to get that home win. Any away game's a hard one to get, especially at a new stadium where FC have never played before. With Ilkeston, they need to really beat Buxton. But again, Buxton are now backing up and looking to... proven they're not down and out just yet, even though I can't see them making the playoffs. I know a lot of players that I've signed today as well have come from Ilkeston's youth team, the NPL Academy. So it's interesting to see how this next couple of weeks pans out, especially with so many youth players on standby, in effect. So naturally, it's just a case of what's going to happen next, especially as FC has still got to play Workington again. I think Ilkeston have got to play Ashton this weekend as well, if I remember correctly.
That's true. So, just to finish off the playoff spots, Curzon didn't play on Saturday, but they did play midweek on Tuesday, and they beat Stamford 1-0 away from home in front of a crowd of 265. Curzon have now moved into the playoff positions. Meanwhile, last Saturday, Witton Albion hosted Skelmersdale United, and Skelmersdale got beat by 2-0. Curzon took on board our feedback and have taken the criticism and are now running with it, it would appear.
I like it when teams do that. I'm waiting for John Flanagan to come on to the podcast. So, I mean, it makes it more interesting as well with the playoff race, because Curzon have just signed Alex Meaney today as well from Skelmersdale, which is a bit of a big shock. I know Skelmersdale have got the problems, but you don't lose your key players to title contenders at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. So, naturally, I think that's Curzon's taking the advantage there. Again, it could get interesting with the playoffs, because we know what happens when there's derbies as the playoff semi-final, not the final, or even the final potentially. So,
are you pointing to the mouth-watering prospects of a Tameside derby in the playoff final? Is that what you're doing? Just to say, teams on the outskirts, we just mentioned Skelmersdale. Obviously, there's also Barwell, and Barwell got 4 points out of the past two games. They drew 1-1 at Trafford on Saturday, but midweek beat Ramsbottom United by 1-0. Barwell, I think, we keep mentioning Blythe Spartans, but I think Barwell are now in, have got a better chance, I think.
They have, but again, with the result at Trafford, I think that's, if they're going to finish outside the playoffs, that's the result that's going to cost them. Mm-hmm. Again, a team that's already down, I know Trafford are looking potentially to just revive the season a little bit, but you don't lose to teams that have already pretty much been buried. That's probably Barwell's biggest loss of points of the season. I know they've lost a couple of games. I think they lost to Belper as well, but that's when they could afford to lose some games. Whereas now, with the situation as it is, I've been championing Barwell all season. Yeah. I think that's the result that's cost them.
Just to mention Blythe Spartans, they're running out of those games in hand now. Ramsbottom United 3, Blythe Spartans 3 was last Thursday's result. That match took place while we were recording last week's show. On Saturday, Blythe Spartans beat Stourbridge by 2-0. And then midweek, they drew 3-3 at Marine. And they're probably playing tonight as well, aren't they, I'd imagine?
No games tonight.
Oh, congratulations to Blythe. You've got a day off. But that goes to show you just how much it's taken out of them, really.
Yeah, especially when you've drew against two of the bottom teams. I said it last Thursday, if you didn't get a win out of that, I think that's Blythe out of the playoff race altogether now.
Right.
And that's just confirmed with the Marines result as well. Again, 2 points against teams that they should be beating. I've no disrespect to Ramsbottom and Marine, but the teams Blythe should be beating if they wanted to make that playoffs. I don't think they'll do it now. I mean, there's nothing to be bad about the season with what's happened, but I think it's just starting to get to them now.
Let's deal with relegation for the time being and down the bottom end of the table. There's been some movement down there. Witten Albion, the most noticeable one from looking at the league table. We'll be speaking to Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian shortly. But let's go through some of these matches. We mentioned Matlock Town. They got beat by Ashton United on Saturday. But also on Saturday, Belper Town 1, Ramsbottom United 2. And if we combine that with midweek, Ramsbottom United 0, Barwell 1. Rami, though, have moved out of that bottom four.
Yeah, but it's still interesting down that bottom end. I mean, I'm not mentioning that much in Frickley just yet. Mm-hmm. But Rami have still got to do stuff with their games in hand. I mean, they could easily get out of it, especially with the performance they've got to move live. Apparently, I was speaking to one or two of the Rackley fans, and it didn't seem to have the tired leg effect that we keep saying about. They've still got another Thursday night game to come. But they're still fighting for it at this moment. I mean, I think they've signed one or two players again today. I've not seen the full transfer list as of 5 o'clock yet. I know there's still one or two names to be mentioned. But they've got the potential to do it if they're playing well.
Let's talk about fighting and let's talk about Marine. 4 points out of a possible 6 this week. Marine 2, Frickley 0 against, and that puts Frickley well and truly in the fourth relegation spot. And midweek, as we said, Marine 3, Blythe Spartans 3, which is an excellent result against a team chasing the playoffs. Marine, James, can they?
I don't think so. I mean, you've got to look at the games in hand as well. You've got not much in
few. James, I'll never go that high pitch ever again.
I think it's, with Marine, it's a case of too little, too late. And I know Richard Cross is going to listen to this and absolutely rollock me at the awards.
That's right.
In about 3 weeks' time. So think with the situation that started, again, they'll look at the first part of the season and wonder why they've gone down, especially in the second half performance. And again, they've got to look at the first part of the season. I know they changed the manager and they didn't have the right team, but again, they're a team that should be right up the table. If they survive, congratulations, you've proved me, everyone else, you've proved me wrong. But I think Marine is a step too far.
If they survive, that's a hell of an escape they've made there. So we mentioned Frickley Athletic getting beat by Marine on Saturday. Midweek, they drew 1-1 with Kingsland Town. I think we're acknowledging Frickley have got a bit of trouble on their hands, but there's a lot of teams down there, thankfully, for Frickley Athletic. Yeah. One of those teams is Stamford. A very good draw against FC United last weekend, one apiece there, as we mentioned earlier. But midweek, Stamford 0, Curzon Ashton 1. Stamford can't win at home.
No, it's going to come down to what Nantwich and Frickley can do with the games in hand, because if they both win that brings every team we've mentioned in the last 6-7 weeks back into the relegation fight, because you've still got Kingsland on 49, Frickley on 41. If they win that, it's only 5 points difference between the teams. It's going to be really, really squeaky bum time.
Oh, squeaky bum time. Well done. That's the one cliche we've not had on this show this month. So, well done, James. Nantwich Town are another team. Nantwich Town 0, Rushall Olympic 1 was the result on the weekend. What do you reckon then to Nantwich Town?
Again, change of managers sorted situations out early in the season. But Nantwich, I think they've got the potential to do it. I think when you look at these games they've got left, they've got the easier running just about. And again, it depends what they can do with the game in hand. Because again, if they win that, they go 45 points to go with Matlock and Ramsbottom again. So it depends what they can do with that advantage at the moment. And that the two games they've got in hand, I don't know if it's against, it might even be against each other yet. I'm not sure that far ahead in the fixtures with building a shot this week. But it's a case of what can they do with it. If it's between them two, that's not a 6-pointer, that's a 25-pointer.
Oh my goodness, right, so. Okay. just to say, there's another team, obviously Andrew Simpson, as we said, he's coming on the show shortly, but Witten Albion, it's been a hell of a week for them. 2-0 against Skelmersdale United on Saturday, midweek, beating Rushall Olympic by 3-2. It sees them march up the table, up to the dizzy heights of 15th. Cracking week for them, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I think, again, York 5-6 weeks ago, you'd have thought they were dead and buried. In December, they were second bottom. Marine even with more points than them. So it's a case of they've had a massive turnaround. Tony Sullivan's done what he's needed to do. And a lot of people were slating him a couple of months ago. Ask the same people now what he's done, and they'll agree. As fans are talking about Whitton Albion again. I think they're pretty much safe now, depending on what Frithley and Nantwich can do.
One last fixture from the league, one last result from the league last weekend. Hales Owen Town 3, Whitby Town 3, in front of 411 supporters. And just to mention the Dudeson Sports Cup semi-final took place. And, well, was this an upset? I don't know. Warrington Town 3, Ilkeston 0, in front of 356 supporters.
That is a shock for me, personally. I know Warrington were the cup upsetters all season with the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, and they had a couple of good wins in that as well. But that was a strong Ilkeston side they put out there, and both teams, again, there's good prize money in the Dudeson, and both teams have noticed that. But again, I didn't see Ilkeston losing that game. I thought it would have been an Ilkeston Ramy final straight away. All depend next week. Now it's going to be more interesting for the second semi-final, so or whenever it's played. So
next week, it's Wednesday the 8th of April. Ramsbottom United are hosting Farsley. The winner will play Warrington Town, and then I'm sure we'll have some news on the Dudeson and some kind of coverage of that final.
Yes.
Hopefully,
yes.
James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, sponsored by Evo Stick. By the side of a road somewhere, would you like to give a plug? In Ashton, would you like to give a plug?
Yeah, facebook.com/groups/the NPL, or on Twitter @the NPL group. And as of this, the podcast coming out, you've got 3 days left to vote for your supporters, player of the year. Get a vote in.
That's right. Only vote once. I was going to say that. That's the new catchphrase for that, isn't it? Only vote once. So, James Hayes, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. It's been a pleasure and a joy. Right, thank you to James Hayes there. But it's now time to go over to the transfer deadline bunker of Mid Cheshire, where we join Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andrew. You okay?
I'm very well. Are you?
I'm very well, and I'm even more well. At the news that you're excited. What exactly are you excited about? Just to say, we're recording this on Thursday night. It's transfer deadline day, and we've got our own Sky Sports News situation developing here. What's going on?
There's no crowd of dodgy looking men stood behind me, though. No. which is a good thing, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Whitton have done a crowd pleaser, and they've re-signed Josh Hancock, who left them last summer to join Telford and have a crack at playing in the conference. And he's done okay there, but obviously Telford had a really difficult season, are looking likely to come down, and have obviously changed their manager quite recently when Liam Watson left and Steve Kittrick went in, and Josh has not had as many minutes since the change of manager. So Tony Sullivan has pulled off a little bit of a coup and brought Hancock back. The reason that's exciting is he's attacking midfielder, goal-scoring midfielder. Like I say, popular with the supporters, played a big part in Whitton's playoff-winning team a couple of years back. And FC United fans may remember him from the promotion playoff semi-final a couple of years ago, so they tried to put him off when he was taking a penalty.
No, don't remember him. Don't remember him.
And they didn't succeed. He did score, but FC won on that night. So, it's good news for Whitton, and I assume he'll be in the reckoning to play this weekend.
Sorry, all playoffs in the past I've totally forgotten.
I've been erased, haven't
they? Yeah, the whole thing.
About that. Yeah,
what playoff? Enough. Anyway, exactly. So it is transfer deadline day, and for a lot of listeners, it's going to be old news what's happened on this evening. But has there been any more standout signings today?
I don't think so. I mean, I know I'm not normally a fan of transfer deadline day, which goes against what I've just said. But I think it's so late in the season that it's difficult, I think, for players who come in now to make an impact. I think the Hancock example is slightly different in that obviously he won't need any time to get used to his surroundings and knows most of the players. He's even had a spell back on loan with Whitton this season. So providing he's fit, that might be one that where there is an impact. But the others, you wonder whether it may just be strengthening squads or kind of, you know, taking a punt on something. So I think it's really hard for lads to come in and make a difference in 5 or 6 matches. So, I mean, if they do, then, you know, it could swing somebody's season, especially at the bottom. But
I suppose though, transfer deadline day in this league isn't really that big a deal because you can make signings whenever you want, can't you?
Exactly. I know the Northern Premier League have tried to make it exciting with their rolling updates throughout the course of the day. So, you know, who am I to poo-poo that?
But Dave Waters does a cracking job. Can I just say that?
Yeah, absolutely. He does. But you're quite right with step three of non-league not having a transfer window. It is slightly different.
I mean, I was sat opposite Kyle Margeson today.
Yeah. And has he been busy or has he been quite relaxed?
He had his feet on the table. So that's where we are.
That's the attitude we like. Yeah.
So, league, just to cover off a couple of things. We're in Albion, 15th. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's March has been their best month of the season. They've picked up 13 points, won 4 of their 6 games. They'd started to pick up just slightly before that at the end of February after a poor start to the year. Last time I was on, I was talking about them having a really slow start to 2015, but they've really picked up. Big reason for that is what I said on the monthly show, in that they've had a run of home matches. Their home form has been really good this season. More than 2/3 of their points have been picked up at Winchin Park. So that tells its own story. And they've kind of made use of that, as I said, when I spoke to you last, they really needed to make the most of the fixture list. And to be fair to Sully and the lads, mm-hmm. they've done exactly that. And it's nice to see them in 15th.
And just before we move on to the rest of the league, exciting news, I believe. Mid-Cheshire Cup final, Witten against Northwich Victoria. I'm assuming your paper's all over this, like a rash. Yeah,
they've not played each other for a long time as well. And I had a look the other day, actually, because somebody asked, and they've not played a competitive game against each other since 2007, so that's quite a while
January
back.
The 30th.
Yeah, indeed. I was at that game. It was a Cheshire Senior Cup game. So there's a novelty value of them not meeting for a long time. Witten haven't picked up any silverware of any description for a little while as well, so I think it's one that they'd quite like to... So we're not just because they're playing North, it's just so that, again, you know, Sully wants to finish the season with some real momentum, and a trophy would be a nice little way to round that off. So I think actually, obviously, with Northwich having a really good season in Division One, it's set up to be quite a good final, that one. Yeah.
Right. So we've covered the Mid Cheshire. That's the first time we've covered a local cup final, a county's cup final like that. let's move on to the fixtures in the league. There's 6 pointers all over the place. We're going to start. I think we should start with. No, I'll leave Witten Albion till last. So
okay, fair
apologies,
enough.
Ashton United fans. Let's start with this one then. FC United and Manchester against Stourbridge. Richard Clark's been in touch to say, Head says Stour will do very well to get anything out of FC on Saturday. Would be a nice feather in the cap to be the only team to do a double over the champions. Champions, I like that. we can't go up. We won't go down. Building for next season. Is the stated aim. And then he goes on and on and on. I'd love to read all that out, Richard, but Andrew's a busy man. So yeah, what do you reckon?
He's right, though. I mean, there's a little incentive there for Stourbridge to kind of get that double. I saw them a few weeks back. They came to Winchin Park and they were one of the teams that were beaten in this run. They had the air very much of a we're coming to the end of the season team. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be how things are going, and managers trying a few different things, knowing as your correspondent said there, they're not going up, they're not going down. It's a very, very tall order though. FC United unbeaten in the past 13 home games. No one's beaten them in front of their own fans since Scem in October. So I can't see, sadly, Stourbridge any other outcome than FC United continuing this march to the title, although they're not quite champions yet, but I think this is one where they will pick up 3 points.
Not going up, not going down, I think can surmise this team since August, really. I can't say that, can I? Yeah, I've done it. Grantham Town are hosting Ramsbottom United. The interesting thing for me, looking at the league table for the first time in a week, is the rise of Ramsbottom United out of that danger zone.
I think they have me to thank after tipping them to go down. No, fair play to them. They've picked up a few points, and obviously, like you say, climb clear of the bottom four. They'll fancy this as well. Grantham, another one kind of with the air of one eye on the beach, I think. Not won any of the past 5. Ramsbottom will fancy this for another reason. 7 of the 8 points they've picked up recently have all been away from home. So they will fancy extending that run at Grantham, and it will put them further away from the bottom four. So they've made me look silly, but well done to them.
Hales are in town against Trafford this Saturday, and we've had two pieces of correspondence from Hales are in town. There's clearly some kind of coordinated thing going on at Hales are between the fans. Rob Lloyd, Yelts came close to their first win for a few weeks last week, but a spirited Whitby side snatched a point. A win needed on Saturday against Trafford, and Tim Bullock taking nothing for granted against Trafford, though. Yelts not beaten any of the bottom six at home this season so far.
There really? That's an impressive stat, isn't it? I like that.
Assuming you believe Tim, just a disclaimer.
Yeah, that's
Tim's
indeed,
stat.
Indeed.
Go on.
Hales Owen, I mean, they have had a good season, but the wheels have come off a little bit. They've not won any in the past nine. Although when you're in that sort of form, who do you wanna play? Probably Trafford. Mm-hmm. They've not won in even longer, no win in 13. I did see Trafford play Witten last month and they were desperately
unlucky not to win, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Hales Owen will end this run without winning on Saturday. Sorry, Trafford. I think they're looking ahead to next season now.
You know, you want to know my prediction?
Go for it.
0-0. Right.
Well,
so,
there you go.
Ilkeston against Skelmersdale United in what perhaps is game of the day, I'm going to suggest.
I think it's one of, yeah, definitely. Saw Skem at Winchin Park last week. They lost 2-0, but they were much better than I thought they were going to be. There's, you know, lots of talk about scamming free fall and not being anything like the team they were early in the season, but they did okay. They were only really put to bed in the last couple of minutes. However, Ilkeston also had that great draw against FC United a few weeks ago. They are still really strong at home, not lost there since October.
Editor's note, this is now a stitch together because we had a system crash, but we're back on it. Kingsland Town against Blyth Spartans, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. Kingsland, I think, have just about done enough. We speculated last time on about whether they were going to get sucked into the relegation battle, and they were up until they came to Witten a couple of weeks ago and picked up a precious 1-0 win. They haven't been doing so well at home, though. They've not won at home since New Year's Day, so having Blyth in town, who are one of the best away teams in the league, isn't going to be great for Kings. I think Blyth, though, have become draw specialists, drawn five of the past six, and it's now left them with a little bit less margin for error to make that top five position.
Well, while they've been trying to catch up with these games, three games a week, Curzon Ashton has been slowly under John Flanagan making their matches count, and it doesn't matter now with the games in hand, does it? Because
Curzon have got the advantage, yeah. Blyth needs snookers, as they say. It's been a tremendous effort to get where they have, and I still wouldn't count them out just yet. But those draws suggest that what we would fear is that they're getting tired, not quite being able to kill off matches. That said, they've had a couple of decent comebacks to pinch those points that they have picked up. So there's obviously still spirit there. But they are relying on other teams now to help them out.
Also on Saturday, Marine are hosting Stamford. Stamford, who got a very credible draw on the weekend against FC United. Stampy's been in touch to say, draw to Stamford away at Marine, at the very least, he's hoping for, although a repeat of last year's 3-0 victory would be better. You can't argue with that. It would be better to win.
It would be better on pure mathematical terms. So, yeah, he's right. This is one of the games of the day, I think. If Marine can continue this pickup they've had since they replaced Carl McCauley as manager, they've only lost one of five games under Sean Hesse, who's come in. If they, another incentive to beat Stamford, they would close to within 4 points of Stamford with six games to play. So it would really put them right back in to pull off a miraculous escape. That said, Stamford remain one of the better away teams in the league. And in fact, if it wasn't for their away form, they would be in serious trouble. They've won 11 games this season. Eight of them have been away from home. So they will be a tricky opponent for Marine, but big incentive for Marine to carry on this upsurging form.
So let's just say Marine do get a win against Stamford on Saturday.
Yeah.
That would put them... What would that put them?
Four behind Stamford. So that would really set it up for the last six games for Marine, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. It would. Anyway, also on Saturday, we have a match involving Matlock Town and Curzon Ashton. Phil Lindley's been in touch to say, Matlock v Curzon Ashton, easy three-pointer for the Gladiators. Although, sorry, oh, there's a question mark there. Easy three-pointer for the Gladiators?
No, definitely not. As you've mentioned, Curzon seems to have well and truly put their little dip behind them. Only Workington have scored more points than them in the past eight games, so they're in really good nick. Matlock, obviously, we talked about, they went on a great run since after they switched their manager, since Mark Hume came in. It's tailed off ever so slightly, not won them in the past three, but they're still really strong at home. Four wins in the past five there, so this is a big ask for Curzon, but as we were just mentioning, they will have one eye on what Blythe are up to, so they'll want to keep that distance between them and Blythe if they can, so I think they might just nick this one.
Also on Saturday, Nantwich Town are hosting Belper Town, who are still in the league mathematically. Daniel Owen's been in touch from a Nantwich perspective, I'm assuming. A win for the Dabbers at home to Belper, need to get the season back on track.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's the story of this game. We mentioned earlier about, you know, who do you want to play at the moment if you're desperate for a win, and it's Trafford or Belper, really. Nantwich, still, despite an improvement under Phil Parkinson, still struggling to pick up points at home. They've lost nearly half their home games this season. Belper, I saw them at Witten a couple of weeks ago, and they are much improved, and they're much more difficult to beat now. But they've not quite got that killer instinct. They've drawn four of the past five to back that up. And so, whilst I expect them not to roll over, it is one that Nantwich could, you know, they could really give their hopes a massive boost by picking up 3 points on Saturday.
Also, with relegation potential on Saturday, well, connotations, I think is the right term, Rushall Olympic are hosting Frickley Athletic. Frickley, who've dropped in there in recent weeks.
They have, and I can't see the slide stopping.
On
Saturday, sorry. Rushall lost at Witham on Tuesday, but I was impressed with them. They've been on a great run before that. They've been unbeaten in six before they came up to Northwich on Tuesday night. They've got themselves into the top ten, strong at home, and I think they'll have a little bit too much for Frickley, which, you know, touching on what we just said about Marine, if Marine do win on Saturday, they'll only be with 2 points behind Frickley, so it really would set it up for the last half dozen matches.
With an element of potential for this away side, Whitby Town are hosting Barwell on Saturday. Barwell still, I think Barwell in the last couple of weeks have moved themselves as an outside candidate above Blythe, I reckon, for the playoffs.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. They're another one of these teams that they've picked up a lot of, like Whitton, they've picked up a lot of their points at home. Their away record isn't as good. And Whitby are, despite being in mid-table, and Whitton moved slightly above them in midweek, they're still one of the best teams in the league at home. Only lost one in the past eight at home. Barwell, not as good travellers, as I say. But, yeah, if they can pick up 3 points, they absolutely are in them. I'd say they were more in contention than Skem. So they could still do it. I don't think they will, but don't rule them out just yet.
And an interesting week for Whitby Town, because obviously FC United are visiting there on Wednesday. They'll do well, won't they, to get some points this week?
It would just put to bed any... They probably are just looking over their shoulder slightly. They're 6 points above the bottom four. Like I say, they probably will pick up enough points at home to be okay. But if they were to lose to Bowler and then FC United, it could really drag them into it. So they'll be looking to pick up something from those home games.
That's what people are saying. Workington are hosting Buxton, and Mark Joyce has been in touch. And Mark Joyce's correspondence is going more and more darker as the weeks go on.
No, we were a bit worried about it.
Another 0-0 after the last two we had with sides above us. Past 6 weeks, we've screwed up our promotion push. Do the local North West Cumbrian side allow dogs in as they're coming for the day out at Workington? Okay. I'm assuming he's referring to some kind of dog ownership club from Buxton and not the first team. Anyway, Workington against Buxton.
It's got to be a home win, hasn't it? Workington, as I mentioned earlier, are the form team. More points than anybody else in the past eight games. Also one of the best home teams in the division. Buxton, I think their playoff hopes are over. They're only 6 points behind Curzon Ashton, but they're simply not picking up enough points. One win in the past nine. I think Workington will continue their push for the title this weekend.
If we look back at this season, it's going to be an odd one to come to terms with for the likes of Skelmersdale and Buxton, potentially, isn't it?
It is, because they started so well. Yeah. And Buxton, I thought, would be closer to the top five than they are.
I had them winning it.
you did indeed. I think looking at their record, they've drawn 14 games, and that will be the reason why. Only Haleshowen have drawn more matches, so it's not converting enough of those draws into wins that's ultimately going to going to cost them, which is a shame.
But it's very exciting up at the top. We've got three sides on 71 points, just following FC United, 7 points ahead of that. But we've mentioned Workington, we've mentioned Ilkeston. The last game we're going to mention is the one where you've got a horse in the race. It's Aston United against Witton Albion. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think this is also one of the games of the day, not necessarily because of where Witton's positioned the table. They're two of the form teams in the league, and there's still something riding on it for both teams. I've mentioned earlier about Witton, they're in really good form, but so are Aston. They have won 6 of 7 games at home since they lost to FC United early in January, so that's what's part of the reason why they've stuck in there. They're still outside contenders for the title. Like I said, they do run into a Witton team in really good form. And since Witton were promoted from Division 1 a couple of years ago, they have won on both visits to Hurst Cross. So they've got a good record there as well. So I expect this to be a really good game, Saturday.
Just to cover one last topic off, the relegation zone, Witton have been in it pretty much every time you've been on this show this season. For the first time, you're sitting pretty, looking down a bit. On those sides you're looking down upon now, what do you reckon?
Even though we mentioned earlier that Ramsbottom, since I said they'd finished in the bottom four, have picked up, I still think they've got a little bit of work to do. If I wanted to revise my opinion, I have seen Frickley in the past couple of weeks. Witton won well there. I would be worried if I was a Frickley fan. Allett doesn't seem to be scoring, doesn't seem to be the banker that he has been in previous seasons at the moment. I would still say that unless Stamford can sort, they still haven't won at their new ground. I'd still be worried if I was Stampy, but, I wouldn't like to call it now because I said Rami and they got out of there. So
just to throw Marine in the mix as well, string a few wins together and all of a sudden it's two relegation spots.
Definitely, and Marine have had that bounce since they changed the manager. The only problem that Marine have is they've got a very, like we were talking about Blythe before, they've got very little margin for error, so they almost can probably afford one more defeat and they're going to need to pick up wins in the rest. That is a big ask for a team that's not been on a winning run at all this season. That said, when you get on a roll, as you've seen with FC United in previous seasons, you can string those results together and if they can win that big game against Stamford and it puts them within touching distance of Frickley, Nantwich, Stamford, then why not? Why couldn't they pull it off? Because they would have form, whereas the likes of Frickley don't. Nantwich don't have form, but they're at home to Belper this weekend, so they can do themselves a massive favour. I think one thing I did say last time is I think it'll go right to the wire, and I don't think any different to that. I still stick to that view. I think we're not going to know until maybe the last game or certainly the penultimate game. And right up to Witton on 48 points, as well as Witton has done, they still need to pick up maybe one more win. So I still think up to 15.
You said 50 yeah, points.
Said 50, so that would get them over the 50-point target. I think they'll do that, but at the moment, I think all the way up to 15th is still classed as being in this relegation battle.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, would you like to just give a plug before you go?
Yes, I will be at Ashton on Saturday. You can follow me on Twitter at @Simo_on_sports. And obviously, we're keeping an eye on everything that's happening around the Northern Premier League in the weeks to come.
Well, you've been a busy man today, and it's I can hear the caretaker from the Evo Stick transfer deadline day bunker knocking on the window. We'll leave you to it, Andrew. Thanks for joining us in Evo Stick Extra.
We got there in the end.
We did, mate. And now for your correspondence. Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say, hopefully, Warrington can do Salford a favour on Saturday. That's because Darlington are away to Warrington, and Josh Charles has been in touch to say Darlow away to Warrington. 3 points, nothing less. I'm assuming, of course, Josh, that you're a Darlington fan, in which case 3 points is the most that you can expect from Saturday. Speaking of Salford, and Martin Cooper has been in touch to say Salford to maintain top spot with a narrow win away to Scarborough this weekend. And in response, Jonathan Wood has said, Scarborough to forego their realistic chances of a playoff spot with a narrow home defeat to Salford. That's the spirit, Jonathan. To Division 1 South now, and Richard Jarvis has been in touch to say, another big game for Greasley. Greeley? He says Greeley. Is it Gressley? This isn't one of those Ilkeston things, is it? Anyway, Richard Jarvis has been in touch to say another big game for Gressley in our playoff push this weekend. We have lost on our last two visits to Ashby Avenue, so a tough ask, but we need to be looking up the table to catch the likes of Sutton Coldfield and Newcastle Town instead of looking behind us. Hashtag Force Gressley. Love a good hashtag. And lastly, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio has been in touch to say another tough outing, but an overdue win against Barwell. That's the spirit, Andrew. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Join in next week for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. My thanks, as always, to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at facebook.com/groups/the MPL. And, of course, to Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on, love your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.